All right, first thoughts this morning. I'm going to go to something I shared a couple of things from Amy Grant last week on my Facebook page, including this. Give it a listen.
Jimmy Gentry, you know, part of Highway 96 is named for him. I've said this so many times. He just said in his southern drawl, I'm going to give you five phrases, easy to remember. And I want you to say these phrases as often as possible. We're going to remember it by how many fingers I'm holding up. The first phrase I want you to know is, how can I help you? Now, fold your thumb down. Now, I'm proud of you, as often as you can, to say that. He held it on my finger. Now, you know what this phrase is. And I said, I love you. Yes. He said, two words? I went, thank you? He said, yes. And he said, now, this is the most important of all. That was southern drawl. And I'm so crazy about him. And I was like, I want to get this right. I was like, Jesus. And he was like, no. Love. No. No, that's not it, Amy. Forgiveness. Mm-mm, that's good, but that's not it. This is the most important one of all. And I just kept. You know, the songwriter me. Nope. Everything hangs on this one. And I said, I don't know what it is. And he said, we. That's the most important of all. You know, changes everything.
Yeah.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yes, exactly.
I know.
Yeah.
I feel that way about the world politics, every table where we are seemingly on opposite sides, we have a problem.
Even in that most tense, you know, and personal experience.
When we look at it that way, we...
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Shared that with friends last night, shared it on Facebook. Thanks to those 18 who liked. Again, each phrase has, you know, so the five word, right? How can I help you? Four words. I'm proud of you. I love you. Thank you. And we. So, yeah, I don't know. I tried to teach my kids please and thank you. Brush your teeth. Probably should emphasize flossing more. But how can I help you? I'm proud of you. I love you. Thank you. And we. Good advice for life here anytime. Today in history, this is the day in 1863, author Samuel Langhorne Clemens began using a pseudonym. I think you know it. He would forever be known henceforth as Mark Twain. Also in 1964, the popular toy G.I. Joe made its debut. And in 1996, actor, dancer Gene Kelly died at the age of 83.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain.
Yeah, Kelly starred in such film classics as Singing in the Rain and Hello, Dolly. All right, and... finally, our devotion for this morning from Jason Kahn's Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus. You got the book and you got the collection of devotions. And we are off to John 13, 28 and 29, where it says, now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Jason writes, there was still an air of mystery around the table. Peter and John asked for the betrayer's identity, yet none of them seemed to realize the treason Judas was committing. Judas was facilitating Jesus' death by handing him over to the Sanhedrin, yet some of them thought he was instructing him to go to grocery shopping. We often fail to see what is truly happening. We miss the cosmic significance of actions instead focusing on the mundane and trivial. People may be in places of intense sorrow, but we tell them to just cheer up because Jesus loves them. They may be suffering the ravages of abuse, and we tell them to put on a happy face. Closing prayer, Lord Jesus, open our eyes to see the gravity of what takes place around us, not so that we become weighed down with guilt or sorrow, but so that we can rightly cling to the hope of your redemption. Birthday Bob in Rice Lake strikes again at 396-1670, saying happy birthday over the weekend to a dear friend, Barb Albright. She lives in Friendship, Wisconsin. What a great place to live. And also has a cabin in Spooner. Celebrating you and your kind heart, Barb. So happy birthday. Jelly Roll last night at the Grammys. I've listened to this. It's inspiring. We've got Jelly Roll's hard-fought Hallelujah with Brandon Lake coming up. Let's give this a listen. Right now, Jelly Roll.
I know they're going to try to kick me off here, so just let me try to get this out. First of all, Jesus, I hear you, and I'm listening, Lord. I am listening, Lord.
Second of all, I want to thank my beautiful wife. I would have never changed my life without you. I'd have ended up dead or in jail. I'd have killed myself if it wasn't for you and Jesus. I thank you for that. I thank you for my label, Broken Bow. It's your country radio, baby. What's up, y'all? Oh, Republic John Manili, we did it, baby. There was a time in my life, y'all, that I was broken. That's why I wrote this album. I didn't think I had a chance, y'all. There was days that I thought the darkest things. I was a horrible human. There was a moment in my life that all I had was a Bible this big and a radio the same size and a 6 by 8 foot cell. And I believed that those two things could change my life. I believed that music had the power to change my life and God had the power to change my life. And I want to tell y'all right now, Jesus is for everybody. Jesus is not owned by one person.
That's what you call a home run. All right, word in from Pennsylvania on this Groundhog Day. Punxsutawney Phil's annual weather prediction has been made. Phil emerged from his burrow this morning where he was greeted by a cheering crowd and his prognostication read aloud.
It is my job this February 2 to look to the skies and report back to you that there is a shadow here on my ground. 6 more weeks of winter abound.
All right, yes, tradition holds. That means 6 more weeks of winter. It's the 139th year that the famous Pennsylvania groundhog has predicted whether we'll have an early spring or 6 more weeks of cold and snow. It didn't turn out the way we hoped, but all right, hang in there.
What was a highlight of your weekend? Here's Vicky.
Good morning, Mark. Oh, we had a wonderful weekend. We are so grateful. On Friday, our granddaughter turned 1. And so on Saturday, our other son and his family came up to celebrate the party and celebrate our granddaughter. And they brought up their 5-week-old son. So our grandson was here. Our granddaughter was here. It was wonderful.
I'm going to say for me, it was a get-together. We had 5 of us, my wife and I, our daughter Elena, and 2 others, looking ahead to a April 24th Teamwork Africa 15th anniversary celebration. So the early planning underway for that, we gathered at one of our WIB advertisers, Cabin Coffee, and it was a productive meeting. So that's my highlight.
15 years?
Yeah, 15 years, man.
Wow. Ah, man.
I don't recommend starting a nonprofit. Trust me.
Time flies.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think back through the weekend, yeah, there were some fun things. But honestly, sometimes it's the simplest ones that just stick out. And for me, the highlight of the weekend was I think it was Saturday early afternoon. And I can be a little OCD about things. And one of the things is getting my steps in. It's like, okay, I'm getting my steps in and maybe getting a little work done, maybe watching a show on my phone, whatever it is. But I like to get my steps in and something I try to do. But I got stopped in that mode of get the steps in. Because there's a little toddler in my house, and he was just kind of staring at me with kind of his impish little grin, and he had one of these Frisbees, kind of like the cheap ones you get at the fair, and sort of like a Frisbee ring where it's open in the middle, and I think it was from the Barron County Sheriff's Department or something like that. And he just kind of looked at me, and he's like, "You playing?" and that's what he said. He's like, "Daddy, you playing?" And I was like, yeah. And so he flings the Frisbee at me. He's a little lefty, but actually he throws left and right-handed. But just stopping and playing with my son and just his giggles and his laughs whenever he caught it or almost caught it, whenever I caught it, whenever he threw it so hard that it caromed off the bookshelf and the ceiling and the wall. And that's what stuck out to me from the weekend, is just stopping my plans for a little bit and enjoying some time with my 3-year-old. And we had a great time. And eventually he would find a pool noodle and tried to turn it into Frisbee baseball and then used his lightsaber to try and hit it and then realized with a racket he could hit it even further. But we had a great time. So enjoyed that little moment.
Terrific.
Good morning, WIB. This is Sherry from Bloomer. My highlight of my weekend started Friday morning when my name was called for the warm-up. And then I got to do some ice fishing with my husband. And my daughter and my son-in-law came to visit, who I haven't seen since Christmas. And then also church and some Bible study and a 5-mile hike on Lake Wissota State Park. So it was a great weekend. Enjoyed. I'm glad it's warming up. And thank you very much for everything you guys do at WIB.
All right, WWIB, the WIB Wake Up Show on a Monday, going back to work and school. And We've got weird excuses for being late to work.
Yes, these come from human resource managers who are polled about some of the oddest excuses employees have used for being late.
These are pretty odd. For instance, someone said a Vaseline truck overturned on the highway and cars were slipping left and right.
Wow, a Vaseline truck. You don't see a lot of those these days. Odd excuses for being late, excuses people really gave. One employee said, my lizard had to have emergency surgery in the morning and died during surgery. I had to mourn while deciding whether to have the lizard disposed of by the vet or bring the lizard corpse with me to work.
Wow, it's okay you're not here.
What did you choose?
Somebody else said, I thought of quitting today, but then decided not to, so I came in late.
That's honesty right there. Odd excuses, but real excuses people have used for being late to work. Someone says, I had to chase my cows back into the field.
Hmm.
That actually could really have happened.
Speaking of cows, someone else said, my cow bit me.
Oh, dear. Another person said, all of my clothes were stolen.
Hmm. Yeah.
Somehow they came in.
What are you going to do? A bathrobe. Somebody else said, sorry, I'm late for work. I was confused by the time change and unsure if it was spring forward or fall back.
This one could just be odd enough to be true. Weird excuses for being late to work. Someone said a black bear entered my carport and decided to take a nap on the hood of my car.
Okay.
Maybe.
A few more. Another employee said, sorry, I'm late, but there was fresh powder on the hill and I just had to go skiing.
Again, honesty. HR managers saying, hey, some of the oddest, weirdest excuses they've been given for people being late to work. Someone says, I'm too heavy to get into my work pants. Couldn't fit in them.
That's why you need Livia.
I guess so.
My last one, another employee said, sorry, I'm late, but I cut my fingernails too short and they're bleeding and I have to go to the doctor.
Ouch. And one final odd but real excuse someone gave for being late. They said I was walking my dog and slipped on a toad in my driveway and hurt my back.
There you go.
Odd excuses for being late.
Those are odd.
I think the only legitimate excuse for being late is if you were listening to great music from lyrics you can trust here on WWIB, and you just had to stay till the end of the song.
Yes. Well, we have good news this morning. A Wisconsin man reunited with his dog, but it'd been a while, Caleb.
Yeah, we talk about highlights of the weekend. This was a highlight of the last 4 years. A Wisconsin man traveled across the country during a snowstorm to be reunited with his dog, who had been missing for 4 years in Philadelphia.
Wow. The animal care and control team of Philly reported that a stray dog was brought in and scanned for a microchip, which revealed her identity as Sippy, reported lost in the same area years earlier.
Now, Sippy's owner relocated to Wisconsin after she disappeared, again, 4 years ago.
Yeah, he made the 16-hour journey to Philadelphia during severe snow conditions to bring Sippy home.
Ramirez explained that Sippy ran off in 2022 while the family was unloading groceries.
Wow. He kept her microchip information updated, hoping she'd eventually be found. And lo and behold,
4 years later in a snowstorm.
Wow.
Goodness gracious. Well, good news. Good news for that family, that new Wisconsin family.
Huh. The WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB, where we are family. Well, somebody might talk about the big game, but there's another championship apparently going on.
And this, in some ways, could be even more impressive. The day before the NFL Super Bowl, the world will witness a new Memory League world champion, or perhaps a repeat champion.
Yeah, in 2025 last year, Vishva Rajakumar won the Memory League World Championship with tests. It tests memorization skills.
To win last year, the 20-year-old Indian college student went up against others with challenges like memorizing the order of 80 random numbers faster than anyone else.
His competitor will be revealed this week during the 29th match of this year's Memory League World Championship.
Late neuroscientist Eleanor McGuire studied mental athletes like Rajakumar and found that many of them use the ancient Roman method of loci, a memorization trick also known as the, quote, memory palace.
Huh. The technique generally involves visualizing a large house and assigning memories to rooms.
Mentally walking through the house fires up the hippocampus, the seahorse-shaped engine of memory deep in the brain.
All right, listen, I have found getting older, what older people had told me before, that short-term memory especially becomes a struggle, so I have to try this.
Well, you talk about a memory palace and assigning memories to rooms. I can't even remember why I came in the room half the time.